and welcome you to our worship service today. If you have any prayer requests or anything like that, you can put them on your insert here and just put it in the offering plate or give it to one of the deacons or Brother Tim, and he'll make sure we get it added to the prayer list or whatever need it may be. Christmas backpacks for foster care children. There's a poster in the back of I don't think there were too many items left on it. It'll be there next Sunday. I'm sure they took it down. They got it. It's covered. Thank y'all. So that's been taken care of. Please remember October is Pastor Appreciation Month. If you haven't taken the opportunity to share personally with Brother Tim and all, I would encourage you to do that. And also to go along with that, next Sunday night, there will be a fellowship to recognize and honor Brother Tim right after the church service. So we'll ask the, if you will, just bring some finger foods and all. And if you haven't already, encourage him and thank him. You'll have an opportunity then to do it also. So please mark your calendars for that. Today at 4 p.m., is an annual Grady County Baptist Association meeting here at the church. We will need those who will and who are able to bring a salad and dessert for the meal. We still have some things that need to be taken care of. If you can come and help us, the meal probably around 6, right? I know they got 6:30, but usually we'll probably start serving around between 6 and 6:30, and that's when we really will need all the help that we, that if you can come, please come. If you can come earlier, please come. But even before that, we'll be back here probably around 2:30 to start finishing up some things that we need to finish up there. So if you can, please come and help us with this. Tuesday, October 29th, 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Meeting. Thursday, October 31st at 5:30 p.m. is the Trunk and Treat. And that's the last day of October, so then we get to start November. Any other announcements? If not, any birthdays? Okay. We will open with prayer, and then Harold can come lead us in the worship service. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we know we go through the announcements every Sunday, Lord, and every Wednesday night, Lord, and then we get to thinking on them, Lord, and all these things that we do to further your kingdom here in Wigham, Georgia and all, Lord. But Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that I know we've got a big event coming up this afternoon, Lord. But Lord, let us focus this morning for the next hour, Lord, on our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us worship you, Lord, and let us just, really, Lord, let's just put all these other things kind of behind us right now, Lord. We'll get to them after our worship service, Lord. I just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he brings your word, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we are attentive, Lord, that we listen, Lord, that we know, Lord, that it's, you're using him, Lord, to share the gospel and to share scripture with us, Lord. But actually, Lord, it's you, Lord, that are preparing us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we will look at it that way this morning and just give you all the glory. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, there's not as many here this Sunday as there were last Sunday, but you know what? Where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, he's here with us. And so I want y'all to stand up this morning and tell the person next to you that, aren't you glad you got to see me this morning? But no, let's sing. Heaven came down together and sing real, real loud. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Jesus, fully to Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I prayed, stood on the offer of grace, he did proffer to save me. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. Now I'm a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions of mine. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. And now hymn 576, if you're looking in the hymnal, take the name of Jesus with you. Thank you. remember as a little boy when I heard this song, it made me a little nervous. It says, set my soul afire. So that's not what it means, or what I thought it meant. It's, all right, so let's sing Set My Soul Afire, all three verses.
Thank you. take your Bibles this morning. Turn to John chapter 14. Not our main passage, but I'm going to look at it for just a moment as we get started this morning. How many of you believe that we are closer now to Christ's return than ever before? If we believe that, how are we living? What are we doing? Are we prepared? Because as we will see in just a few moments, the Bible is clear that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. When he comes again, will he find us faithful and ready? Will he find us serving him with all of our heart? Will he find us truly having the Holy Spirit inside of us? It's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. I believe honestly that everything that needs to be done has been done, that even as I'm speaking, Jesus could come on clouds and call us up to be with him. I think everything has been done, everything is accomplished, and we as a church need to be looking forward to his return. But in a lot of ways, don't we live as if he's not coming back? Do we share our faith with those around us, those we work with, those that we claim to love? Do we truly live each day as if today will be the day Jesus comes again? Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And in John 14, verses 1 through 3, listen to what Jesus says. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus taught himself that he was going to come again. Scholars say that there's over 300 verses in the Bible that speak to the second coming of Christ. Over 300. One out of every 25 verses in Scripture is about the second coming of Jesus. That's a big portion of Scripture. Now, I want us, if you will, to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, and then we're going to do our best to apply these verses to our lives. So let's read together. Matthew 25, verse 1. Here Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage today, Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds, Lord, to see if we're ready for that time when you come. Lord, to see if we've made the preparations that are a necessity. Lord, we can't get to heaven without these things. So, Lord, as we study your word this morning, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to see it, to hear it, to believe it, but then also to respond to it. Lord, have your way in our hearts and minds, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we notice is the similarity to these bridesmaids. If you've been to a wedding, how many of you have been to a wedding? What do the bridesmaids just wear whatever they want to wear? Generally, no. If you've got 10 bride, that's a lot, right? Whew, I'd hate to pay for that wedding. 10 brides maybe on this side, and so there'd probably be what? How many are on that side? The grooms. So you got 10, and they're not all dressed up in different colors, because back in those times, especially, it was the bride's family that was supposed to provide all the clothing. And if you even think about it in the book of Revelation, we're all going to receive what kind of robes? White. They all look the same. They all dress the same. From the outward appearance, nothing seemed out of place, because they were all pretty much the same. They all had lamps. They all had on the right clothes. They looked similar to each other. They were all young ladies. That's what the word virgin means. They were virgins. They were young women. Their responsibility was to tend to the bride until the groomsmen came. That was their responsibility, to take care of her needs. It was often in biblical times almost a sports type event at a wedding. Suspenseful thing, because oftentimes they would go from one house to the other, but then finally the bridegroom would come and pick up his bride from her parents' house and then go back to his house. That's the way it was. But oftentimes what they would do was try to make it suspenseful by not letting anybody know when they were coming. I think my wife would have been upset, right? The times have changed. But that was how it was done back then. She would wait and wait and wait, and he kept waiting. And as we see in this story, it was at the midnight time, and we'll talk about that in just a moment too. But it was suspenseful, and while he was delayed, whatever might happen, maybe the chair wheel fell off, we don't know, but he delayed his coming a little while. But we realize too that with the similarities of all these young ladies, they looked alike. As I mentioned, they all had lamps. They dressed in the garments of the bridesmaid. They claimed to have been invited, right? They acted like the other bridesmaids that were there. They all had the same purpose. And no one suspected that there was anything wrong with these 10 virgins, these 10 bridesmaids. But you know what? That is true of the church today. Because we can have people that come in and claim to have the same invitation, the same purpose, they're working for the same thing. But there's going to come a day when those people who look the part, talk the part, walk the part, some of them are going to be left behind. I want us to keep on looking at this. Passage for just a moment as we go through. We see the similarities, but then we find there is a separation. I remember Jesus talking about the parable of the wheat tares. He said, leave them alone until the time of harvest. The harvest bears all things. There's going to be a time that comes when the sheep and the goats are going to be separated from one another. And Jesus is kind of speaking along the same subject here. Although everybody looks the same, talks the same, has the same purpose, they're there, they're dressed. But there's going to come a time where the separation comes because five of them have oil and five of them don't. In biblical times, oil was representative of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So we see that. All 10 started out, but five of them, they weren't ready. They weren't ready. Now, they were separated because they were foolish. They were foolish to think that they could get in doing it their way and how they wanted to do it. But ultimately, we realized that it didn't happen. There was going to be a separation between those who were wise and had the oil and those who did not have it. Listen, Romans 8:9 says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Cool. If anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not. And in other words, what Paul is saying, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not what? You're not saved. And if you're not saved, you're not going where? Yeah. You see, the most important decision, the most important thing any of us can have is the Spirit of Christ living in us when we confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we trust in him and receive his gift of salvation. He comes to live inside of us through his Spirit. In this chapter, you find that Jesus makes reference to Noah because he's talking about the time that will come. When Noah was building the ark for over 100 years, Noah faithfully preached that God was coming to destroy the earth. Who believed him? You see, in the same sense, Noah, when the ark was finished and God had brought all animals to the ark, I don't think Noah had to go with lasso and rope anything. I think God walked him right up the planks of that ark to go in. And as it was ready, and the Bible says that God shut him in. It was God who closed the door. It was God who sealed him in, but he also sealed everybody else that wasn't prepared out. There's coming a day of judgment on the world. We know it as Christ's return, and when he comes to call his children home, I believe in the rapture. I will go to be with him until the time that there begin that 1,000-year reign. And then he will come again and set up his kingdom here on earth. But listen, when you think about these 10 virgins that we're looking at this morning, and you see that picture of those 10 virgins is really a picture of the church, that there are people who are ready who've been wise and trusted in Jesus Christ, but there are others who have not, maybe they really haven't rejected him. They just haven't made a decision. And by default, when you don't make a decision, you're not going to heaven. These ladies, they were ready. Five of them weren't. But you know, the same is true in our churches today. Listen to this survey that I found. And this has been from a while back. 30% of Americans attend church regularly. We think everybody's saved, right? But only 30% of Americans attend church regularly. How regular is regular? I don't know. Christmas and Easter anymore, right? That's regular for most Christians. 70% of church children quit church by the age of 15. 5% reported on church memberships cannot be found because they don't exist. 25% of people who go to church never read their Bibles. I would probably venture that most of that may not be totally true either, because I think a lot of times that most people read the Bible when they're in church. Maybe it should have said how many of you read it outside of the church. 30% who claim to be Christians never attend church. 40% of people who claim to be Christians never give to anything, any cause whatsoever, not to the church, not to the Samaritan's Purse, not anything. 50% of people who claim to be saved never go to Sunday school. Now, I'm not saying we do that to earn our salvation, but if we're saved, we should want to learn and grow in our faith. 65% never go to a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service. 70% never give to missions. 80% never go to a prayer meeting. Let me shed a little light here. I have tried in two churches that I've been a pastor of to specifically say, listen, on this night we're going to come together, we're going to pray as a church, we're going to pray for one another, for the community. That's the lowest attended event in both churches that I've ever done. People know they're going to pray. They don't want to be a part. They say they believe in prayer. Percent of those who claim to be saved never win anyone to Jesus themselves. 95%. They all look the same. They all dress the same. They're all supposed to have the same purpose. But there was a difference. We notice with these 10 virgins in verse 5 that they all went to sleep, the wise and foolish. They all went to sleep. Here again, I believe that's another picture of the church, that the church today has kind of fallen asleep behind the wheel, so to speak. We're supposed to be driving, we're supposed to be leading others to Christ, but in many ways, the saved and unsaved fell asleep. They fell asleep. Here again, I think it's a picture of us in our day let me back up. The first 400 years of the church, even Paul expected Jesus to return when? In his lifetime. Paul expected, beyond a chef, he would ask him any day of the week before he died, say, Paul, when is it? It's today. It's today, every day. It's today. He's coming today. The first 400 years, it was all about the second coming of Christ. That any moment, any time, he was going to call out and he was coming to get us. But I think the church today has lost that blessed hope. we've lost that bliss. I'm not saying we don't believe that he's going to come. I'm saying we kind of quit looking forward to it. And when you know, remember a kid, when a kid's all excited about going somewhere and getting to do something, they usually can't settle down. But after they keep waiting and keep waiting and keep waiting and it doesn't happen, what happens to the kid? You know? And I think that's maybe how we are spiritually and as the church today. We know that Jesus is coming, but we've kind of quit looking for that bliss. Like Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Titus was saying here, he said, looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul was telling Titus about the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, the mercy of God, and how that he was to teach and lead others to be looking forward to that blessed hope. But are we looking for the blessed hope? We say that his return is closer now than it has ever been before. How does that change how we live? How does that change where we look to? Are we looking for his return? Because he is coming again, amen? Verse 6, we see the shout. It says, and at the midnight cry, or at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Now let me be clear, the Bible does not tell us when Jesus is going to return. And even though the Bible tells us that no one knows the time of the day when Jesus will come, there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of even great evangelists that have tried to predict when Jesus is going to return, and each and every time they predict he's going to return, guess what? It doesn't happen, right? Because we know that Jesus, when he returns, he'll be at a time when no one is expecting him. That's the midnight part of this cry, because midnight means at the darkest time, when there's no hope, no light, then all of a sudden here comes the bridegroom to get his bride. It was at midnight. Matthew chapter 24. This verse 36 says, read down. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son, or will be the coming of the Son of Man. I said, keep reading that wrong. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. When two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken to the other land. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know. Expect. Are we looking? Are we watching? We talk about it being at midnight. The 1 Thessalonians 5:2, Paul says this. He says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Revelation 16:15, this is Jesus speaking. And he said, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You see, are we waiting? Are we watching? And that doesn't mean to just sit down and not do anything. It really means to be watching and being busy at the same time. Be looking, be ready, be working towards that second coming. Fifth thing we notice in verses 7 through 9 in chapter 25 is we see that there's going to be a shakeup. Going to be a shakeup. These counterfeit bridesmaids could hide who they were for a little bit of time. They could hide who they were for a little while. But just like the wheat and tares, there's going to come a time when they're going to be separated. There's going to be a shakeup in that, because there's going to be some who get to go, and there's going to be some who are left behind. There's some who are going to be inside, and there's some who's going to be outside and pass for a little while. But when the time came, they did not have what they needed the most. And what they needed the most was the Holy Spirit living inside of them. They weren't saved. And for those who are not saved when the Lord returns, I'm sorry. But if you're not ready at that moment, you don't get to go. You don't get to go in. You're going to be left outside of the door. You're going to be on the outside looking in. You're going to be like these people that are knocking on, "Let me in, let me in." But it's not going to happen. We also see the shame. Look down at verses 10 through 12. Listen to what it says here. These five foolish virgins, half of them, says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Oh Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you.'" And Jesus gives us a warning, and he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Listen carefully. I believe Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Right? It's not the Lord's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe it's his will for everybody to come. That's the invitation to come. But think of this. How tragic would it be to be this close to being at a wedding? The most important wedding of all time. Not Charles and Kate or whoever they are, or Will and whoever she is. That don't matter. Think of being this close to being there. But when the time came, you didn't have all of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're shut out the door. And just in the day of Noah, the door shut. He can't get out, and they can't get in. But you're this close, and you're close enough to have the door to knock on it. Lord, open the door for us. He's going to say, "You know what? You did it your way. You lived your life foolishly. You wanted to have things your way, do your own thing, have your own, sow your oats, whatever you want to call it. You wanted to do all your things your way, and so now, you know, you were invited. But I don't know you. You were invited to come, but you never believed in me. You never trusted me. You never asked for forgiveness. You never gave your life to me." And because of that, could you imagine being that close to heaven and be turned away What shame. What shame that these bridesmaids must have felt when they were left out, when they were so close to being there. The door was shut. The wives were inside, enjoying what the master had prepared, what the groom had decided on, all that came with it. But yet there was those who missed out. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. You see, this Matthew 25 is not the only part where Jesus talks about those being left out. Look at what he says. And here again, this church folks, look at it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? But he who does the will of my Father. What is the will of Jesus' Father? What is God's will for us? To believe and repent. Isn't that what John the Baptist came on the scene preaching? Isn't that what Jesus came on the scene preaching? To repent and believe. Those two things. Do his will. Many will say to me on that day, this is the day when we stand before the Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Sound like church people, right? Preaching, teaching. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons? Can I tell you, as far as I know, I've never cast out a demon. Okay? So they've done more than me already. I've done many wonders in your name. Now, you know, I don't know what you call a wonder, but these were good, outstanding people. They're doing it in Jesus' name. It shows the power of Jesus' name, right? He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, there's coming the day of Christ's return. There is a solution. The solution is trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The solution is to accept his gift of forgiveness and receive him into our own hearts and lives and receive him as Lord, because if Jesus is not the Lord in your life, he's not your Lord. He's not the Lord at all for you. If he's not Lord of all, then he's not your Lord at all. But many times we're like these 10 here. We're there, we're practicing, but we don't have a real deal. And when the time comes, are we going to be found ready? Are we going to be found faithful? Are we going to be found with what we need most? We need to watch. We need to watch for his return. We need to be expecting his return. But we also need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to trust Christ now, because we don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know if he'll come tonight at midnight. We need to be ready. But we also need to share him with others so that they can be ready as well. How about you? I don't mean this sexist by no means. But whether you're the bridesmaids or the bridegrooms, the groomsmen, that's what it is, groomsmen. Are you the wise or are you the foolish? Are you the wise groomsmen, are you the foolish? What are you waiting on? We stand with you. Heavenly Fathers, we go into this time of invitation.
Lord, I hope and pray that everyone here has already made ready. They've already put their faith and trust in you. Lord, they're ready. They're watching for your return. They're working, Lord, as if it could be today. But then, Lord, I know that there may be one, there may be ten who are here who have never trusted you. They look the part, act the part, dress the part. They smell like a Christian, talk like a Christian. But Lord, when it comes down to it, they don't have the oil of the Holy Spirit inside them. Lord, I pray today that they would get ready. That they would get ready by trusting you and accepting your gift of salvation. Accepting your grace through faith in you. Lord, I pray that we'd all be found ready at your return. Lord, lead us and guide us. Show us the way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.